God and our Father, we thank you for the privilege to be on Zoom again and be able to share a few thoughts from your precious word. And we pray that others might join. And whatever we pray that whatever is said and done is would be honoring to you, Lord, and would be encouraging to those that hear also. We thank you for the privilege to share, and thank you that for those that are on, and we pray that each one would be encouraged. We give you thanks now and commit the time to you in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, some time ago, when we had a reading meeting, I think it was the expression, the word of truth came up, and it was a verse, I think, that was shared about that. And so Keith said, that's an interesting subject. It'd be something that'd be kind of, it'd be nice to kind of research sometime. So I mentioned to Keith at that time, I said, well, I've done that. So maybe sometime when we share again, I can share that. And he said, well, good. So I'm disappointed Keith's not on, but this is recorded, right? So he can always come on later. So anyway, that's what I'd like to talk about is the word of truth. And there, to start with, I'd just like to turn to John 17:17, a well-known scripture there. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's a tremendous verse, you know, and it just kind of sets the mark down that we have a book here that is true and a book we can trust. It's the word of God. There's a verse in Psalm 119:160. It says, thy word is true from the beginning. So whatever that exactly means to me, it means I can go right to Genesis 1:1 and to the last verse of Revelation and know that I'm reading the truth from this book, the word of God, the Bible. So and I noticed too, as I was researching this subject, that it's vouched for by the Trinity. If we turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, and verse 10, it says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting King. So the Lord is the true God, the living God, everlasting King. The God is true. The Lord God is true. So, and on John 14:6, a very well-known verse, it speaks about how the Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the Lord Jesus is the truth. So God is the truth. The Lord Jesus is the truth. And then in John 14, chapter, verses 16 and 17, John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth it him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit is the truth. So we have the whole Trinity represented in the truth. That's pretty complete, isn't it? Now, what about Satan? We know he's not the truth. Satan is a liar right from the Garden of Eden, where he deceived Eve. He says, hath God said? And he questioned God right from the beginning. And in John chapter 8, just turn back a few chapters, John chapter 8, in verse 44 says, talking about Satan, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer, talking about Satan, or the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the scriptures, which is the truth, tells us the truth about Satan, doesn't it? That he's a liar. And we know that all the way through scripture. He deceives, and he may be an angel of light. So he deceives people even by that way. And we know what his final end will be in the lake of fire. So, so we should value the word of truth. And I know all of us that are on here tonight do value it. We don't, and we shouldn't read it to look for errors. Some people, I think, just they look for it and they find something that they think is an error, and they, aha, I found something, or I found something that contradicts. We're not to look that way. Since it's a truth, there is no error. There is no contradictions. So we're just to believe it. And if we see something that looks like a contradiction, we know that it's not. And so we have to look at the context to see what it's saying. And most all the time, it will reveal it to us. We should read it as a letter direct from God. And it is. It's a letter from God. Just think of that. God has given us this book as a letter from himself. And we should really value and appreciate that. We should read it prayerfully. Many times when we open the book, we pray before we read it, because we want the Lord to reveal himself in it to us. We should read it prayerfully for knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. And in Proverbs chapter 23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, get a hold of it. Don't let it go. And in that same verse in Proverbs 23, it says, it talks about how it reveals knowledge. It gives us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, just like I just mentioned. So if we turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, we see an interesting verse. 1 Kings chapter 17. These thoughts so far that I'm talking about is an introduction to the scriptures that speak of the word of truth. So 1 Kings 17, talking about Elijah, in the last verse of the chapter, verse 24, the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. So here's Elijah, who we know was a man of God, and she recognized that. And because he was a man of God, she believed the word, which was the word of truth. So that's the way we should be too. We need to be men of God, men and women of God, so that when we speak, people will realize that what we're saying is the truth and believe the truth. So those are kind of some introductions to the subject, and how valuable and how precious the Bible, the word of truth, is. So now I'd like to look at eight different scriptures in the Bible that use the expression word or words of truth. I'll go through them. The first one is in Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And we'll start with verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as gourds and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given by one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. So we have quite a bit in this these few verses that Solomon's writing. And I looked up the word upright. It's mentioned here in the King James. Upright means just and honest. That's one of the definitions it gives as far as the word upright means. From a biblical standpoint, there's other meanings for upright, of course, but it also mentioned just and honest. Well, isn't that true? What the word of truth is? It's just and it's upright and it's honest. I mean, just and honest. So something that's honest, we can believe. Any time a person is an honest person, we can trust them and believe in them. So it says here, it's acceptable in this verse, in verse 10. Acceptable words. Acceptable means something you receive. If you accept something acceptable, you receive it. So we should receive this word of truth. It says as gourds. Well, we know what a gourd is. We talked about it in one of the reading meetings recently, didn't we? to urge us on in the way. A gourd is a prod or something that you prod an animal to get it moving. Well, we need to be prodded to be reading this book, The Word of Truth. It says, as nails here in verse 11, as nails fastened by the masters of assembly. What do nails do? They hold things, don't they? When you build a house, you use nails, and the nails hold in the way. So we need to be held in the way, not turn to the left or the right, to go forward in the way. And then the last one, it says here in verse 12, it says, and further, by these my son be admonished. So we know that the word of God, the word of truth, admonishes us of two. And so if we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof or reprimand, for correction, for instruction in rightness, in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the word of truth is used to admonish us too. You know, somebody, if we say something wrong, or we need to be corrected. And we value people who love us enough to correct us when we say something that's wrong. So that's the first scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that speaks about the word of truth. So the second scripture that we read about the word of truth is in Proverbs chapter 22. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 20 says, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. So here we have the word, or the words of truth, mentioned again. And it says here in verse 21, the certainty of the words of truth. And certainty means we can have absolute confidence in it. It's certain. It's for real. And we can have confidence in it. So when we read the scriptures or read the word of truth, we can have confidence that we're reading something that's true from beginning to end. It says in these verses, excellent things. Have not I written to thee excellent things? So we have the best quality of things when we read this book. There's no higher quality than the word of God, the word of truth. And then the other point in this verse, it says that that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. And for that, I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 to kind of give a definition or a verse that backs that part of the Proverbs up. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So when it says back here in Proverbs about answer questions, we need to be ready. We need to be instructed in the word. So when somebody asks us a question, whether it's a doctrinal question, or maybe it's a question about their self wanting to be saved, which is even more important, we need to be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in us. We have a blessed hope, don't we? And we need to share that with others. And so we need to be ready when that opportunity comes. So that's the second scripture that speaks about the word of truth. Third one is in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. And verse 14. 42. So shall I have wherewith the answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. So the point that I wanted to mention here is, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. God has given us a mouth to speak the word of truth, doesn't he? We need to use our mouths to speak this word. It can be trusted, it says here. For I trust in thy word, in verse 42. And since we often have mentioned, we can trust in his word, and we're to be not ashamed of the scriptures. In fact, in this Psalm 119, there's, I think, four times it mentions that we shouldn't be ashamed. In verse 6, it says, verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. The second one is in verse 46. I will speak of thy testimony also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Shouldn't be afraid to speak before kings. Look what happened in the household of Caesar. And we read just last week in our reading about Babylon. The gospel got into Babylon, of all places, you know, Babylon and Rome, in Caesar's household. So people were saved there. So we shouldn't be ashamed even to speak to people in high positions. Another verse is in Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. And then lastly, in verse 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. So four times in Psalm 119, it speaks of it's not to be ashamed. And, we've mentioned before that in Psalm 119, Daniel and I had did a little research on that and independently of each other. And we noticed that in Psalm 119, that in every verse of the 176 verses, there's only five verses that either the word of God is not mentioned, either by the word or the statutes or the judgments and some of the other expressions that are synonyms of the word of God. Only five verses it's missing, but in five verses that it's mentioned twice. So there's 176 times in this book where the word of God is mentioned. How precious that is. So lastly, in connection with this Psalm 119, verses 42 and 43, I'd like to turn to Malachi chapter 2, the last chapter or last book of the Bible, of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2. Verse 6 and 7. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. Remember, we're talking about speaking out the word of truth. So the law of truth is in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So we're going to speak later about us being messengers, but I thought this was an interesting verse about the word of truth. It's in our mouth, and we need to speak it forth. So that's the fourth one now. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll start with verse 4. But in all these things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. So the word of truth, it says here, approves us as God's ministers. In some way, each one of us are ministers of God. And as ministers, it teaches us patience, purity, it mentions here, long suffering, kindness, and love. Some of the fruits of, or fruit of the Spirit are mentioned here. This is what the Word of God does as ministers. And it just mentions here, we need to be patient when we speak to people. We need to, our life needs to be a life of purity. We need to use long suffering. We use, take time with people. And we need to be kind to them. And not only kind, but show love, real love, really meaning it too, not just saying I love you, but to exhibit real love to these people. And God gives the power to minister through the leading of the Spirit, it mentions here. It says here, by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God in us, which helps us to do this. We need to be of a righteous character to be effective ministers of the word of truth. And we have that in, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, and there's one verse in there that specifically comments on this very point. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, or with the word of truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Here we have the thought of righteousness again. Having our loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So these are some of the things that approves us as ministers of the word of truth. So number five, we'll just turn back a couple chapters to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13, read, says, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So this verse tells us that this word of truth that we're ministers of needs to be heard by others. And we're to preach the gospel. And turn to Romans chapter 10, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Romans chapter 10. In fact, Romans 10:9 was the verse that led me to put my trust in the Lord Jesus as my Savior when I was a young person. And that verse is, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But the verses I want to look at is Romans 10:14. We mentioned this word of truth needs to be heard by others. Verse 14 says, how shall they then call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So this gospel message needs to be heard. And it tells us in Ezekiel, we'll turn to Ezekiel, that some hearers will not believe. We know that. It says here in verse 16 of Romans 10, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So some won't hear, but we're still to preach it. So turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of my, let's go down toward the end of the verse. Come, I pray you, hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as a people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, And they hear the words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words and they do them not. How sad that is, that they can hear the very way to be saved, the way to keep them from going to a lost eternity, and they will not hear it. And then in chapter 3 of Ezekiel, there's a warning to those of us that know the Lord as our Savior and our responsibility to preach the word and to make it heard to others. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 says, again, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet, if thou warn the wicked that he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So here's a warning to us that we have a responsibility to tell others about the Lord. And if we don't, you know, it's a serious thing, isn't it? But hopefully that when we have an opportunity, we won't pass it up. We will tell others, and because we want everyone to be in heaven with us. So it needs to be heard. That's number 5. Number 6 is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is something else that's pretty serious. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to rightly divide the scriptures. So and get the need to interpret scriptures. I read this in one of the commentaries, where to interpret scriptures correctly and treat the truth fully without falsifying. Interpret scriptures correctly and treat the truth fully without falsifying. We're to handle the scriptures with care. The word of truth. In verse 14, it talks about words to no profit. That's the opposite of the words of truth, to no profit. And in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings and so forth. So we rightly divide the word of truth. The scripture needs to be studied prayerfully so that we can give the proper interpretation. And the other thing is, we're not to pull verses out of context. Study the context. We should study the context to see what the verse means, because pulling it out of context, it could mean an altogether different thought than what the rest of the context says. And a lot of people got into trouble by just picking a verse out and building a doctrine on a verse without studying the context. Don't argue over non-essential verses, but show love one to another. There's some verses that we may disagree on. All of us, I'm sure, will disagree on some points in the scripture. But since they're not essential, let's just show love. And leave it at that. Some translations of the Bible don't rightly divide the word of truth. And they interpret verses, give a completely different interpretation than I believe what is really the truth. So we have to be careful when we pick up a different translation or a paraphrase of the word of truth, the Bible, that we don't start getting involved in bad doctrine. So we're to rightly divide the word of truth. Say number 7 is in James 1:18. Turn to James 1:18. We just have two more to look at. Let's start with verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So James 1:18, I believe, is teaching us that it's resulted in our salvation. And this begatting, I think, from what I read, it has to do with the new birth. And we know the story of Nicodemus. It's when the Lord spoke to him, he said, you must be born again. You need to be born again. We've been born again by the word of truth, the Bible. We were saved, it says, by the will of God. John chapter 1. Let's look at John. Just turn to John chapter 1. Hold our place here. John 1:12. Says, but as many as received him, to they gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we were saved by the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should be brought to repentance, tells us in another place. So in verse 17, of James 1, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And I believe we can say that the Bible, the word of truth, is a gift from above. What a precious gift it is, the gift of all gifts. So the word of truth resulted in the salvation of all of us here that are online this evening. So last one I'd like to look at is in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, it's a story of Paul's defense before King Agrippa. Acts 26, starting with verse 19. I'll just read a few verses here to get the context. For whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to the small and the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, this is a key verse, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. So here Paul was speaking the words of truth to Agrippa, to Festus, and they wouldn't receive it. And he spoke with soberness. He kept himself under control. He was patient with him, long-suffering with these men. And even they still would not believe it. We can't force anybody to believe, can we? We can't force anybody to accept the words of truth that we believe and we know is from God. But we can sow, we can, I think in Corinthians there, in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, one sows, one plants, another waters, but God giveth the increase. So I might be a sower, I might be a waterer, but God, I can't save, God gives the increase. So we should be planters, we should be sowers, or we should be waterers, and leave the saving to God. We should keep preaching the gospel. But I have a note here. Mark chapter 16. It tells us to go out. I'll turn to it so I have quoted correctly. Last chapter of Mark says that he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The word of truth. So in summary, we talked about eight scriptures in the Bible that bring up this these words, the word of truth. The first one was the word of truth is upright. Secondly, the word of truth is certain. Thirdly, we are to speak the word of truth to others. Fourthly, it approves us as ministers of God. Fifthly, it needs to be heard. How can they hear without a preacher? Number six, we are to rightly divide the word of truth. Seventhly, it resulted in our salvation. We heard the word of truth. Many of us when we were young, some when we were older, we believed it. And lastly, it is to be used to for us to convert souls. So before we pray, I'd just like to mention a quotation from Tersteegen. He said, many possess the word of truth who have not the truth of the word. I'll repeat that. Many possess the word of truth who have not the truth of the word. It could be interpreted in different ways. It could be they have maybe the Bible in their hand or in their home on a shelf where there's dust on it. They have it. But they have not the truth of the word because they don't read it and believe it. So with those thoughts in mind, let's thank the Lord for our time together in prayer. God, Father, we thank you for your precious word, the word of truth. We thank you that we can read it, knowing that it is true from the beginning to end. We thank you for those that were on Zoom tonight and were able to hear these verses from your precious book. And we pray for those that were not with us tonight. We pray that they can get the tape and enjoy these scriptures too, as I've enjoyed them. And trustfully, the rest on Zoom here have enjoyed them too. We thank you for your word, Lord. We pray that we will read it daily and pray that we would speak it forth to others as we, people that are brought, that you bring into our path, that we might be faithful and not pass the opportunity to witness for you, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks for this hour together. We commit ourselves to you now till we meet again in your precious, worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
So if anybody has any comments.
Well, thank you, Daryl. I think this is one of the most important subjects that we find in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. What is it? How do we deal with it? What does it mean to us? Does it affect our life? What is the power that's found in the Scriptures? Mm-hmm. It's so important. Well, my impression is that during the Dark Ages, the Word of God was kept from the people. They tried to print it in the local languages, and often they would try to burn every copy they found. It took a while, but the Spirit of God kept going at it and finally broke through, and there were copies of the Word of God that were so spread around in different countries that it now became possible to read and study it for themselves. And my impression is this. During the Reformation, the truth of the gospel came to the surface. Wonderful, wonderful truth. And they fought for it and they died for it. This truth that salvation is by faith, no work at all. By faith. That was an important step. Well, then early 1800s, it took it a little bit further, where the Word of God was able to guide in every matter, not just salvation, but in the activities of the individual at home, in the local gathering, every part of the life. And I'm under this impression still, it just seems to grow, that as they were newly grasping these things, it really meant something to them. They didn't have a lot of commentaries. They had the Word of God. And over the years, a number of things happened. There would be those that would be preaching and teaching. And sad to say, things fall into one school of thought or another school of thought, and the enemy would like to pit one Christian against the other. And sad to say, he's used the word of God to do it. Well, here's my thought. We need to listen to whatever is said, but don't stop there. You can't take anything at face value. You've got to take that to the scriptures and find out, is it consistent with what the Bible says? Because over the years, many prominent preachers have had a following, and they can quote the preacher. They can quote his sermons. They can quote his prayers. But what about the Word of God? And so I can't help but think that today, after so many years, the Spirit of God is once again directing us back to that firm foundation, the Word of God. We need to challenge everything that we hear with the scriptures. We need to challenge those things that we've heard for so many years and we've taken for granted. We haven't searched it out for ourselves because there are those that we respect that have been saying different things over the years. We respect that. But we need to keep in mind, they're all human. They make mistakes. They quote someone else that they have respected. Well, I don't want to undermine anyone's ministry, but I do want to do this. Whatever we hear, go back to the Word of God and find out if it really is said that way in the scriptures. We have found so many scriptural phrases and sayings and words redefined over the years and taken out of what was intended to be. And it's been distorted and led people down a pathway that's not really intended by the Lord. That's what comes to mind here. I can't emphasize enough. Take it back to the scriptures. And I hope no one would ever fault me for saying, well, I hear what you're saying, but I want to find out from the Word of God if that's exactly what's meant there. I think we should all want that. Well, that's my thoughts. I don't mean to be taking up all the time here, but it's such an important subject because we have been associated with a number of different groups of Christians, and they all say something a little bit different. Why? Well, they all claim it's scripture. They all claim it's truth. But it can't be when it contradicts each other. So we need to get back to the Word of God. We need to let the Word of God be the lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Wonderful men, wonderful women that love the Lord and have come up with some precious thoughts from the Word of God, but they're human beings and they might make a mistake. And we want to take it back to get the actual foundation truth from the Word of God. Well, I'll open it up for others that might have some comments as well.
Thank you, Don. Made me think when you were talking about, I was reading a book recently about a missionary went to this one area and I don't remember what country it was, but when he started visiting with the natives there, the man said, "Why didn't you come earlier?" He said, "If you'd have come earlier, my folks could have got saved." And they were, of course, passed away later.
Yes, we've heard that too.
Yeah.
Joe, you have some thoughts you want to share with us?
No, I thought Daryl did a quite good job. But I do agree, it is the most important thing in a believer's life is the Word of God. In fact, I have a message that was kind of similar to that, but some things are different. But some of the things you brought up, Daryl, that I had mentioned in this one message, maybe I'll share it someday.
Oh, okay. Good. Look forward to it.
Eldon, do you have some thoughts for us? Oh, Joe, were you finished?
I was just going to say I always thought that there were three things that are essential to the Christian life. And if I had to put them in order, I would put them in this order. Number one would be the Bible study. Number two would be prayer.
Yeah.
And number three would be fellowship. Mm. And there's two occasions where I would change that order. As a new believer, you don't know anything about the Word of God. So I think the most important thing to a new believer is fellowship. He can be led on and nurtured and so on. And then it would be Bible study and Ooh. Prayer. And also, if someone is backslidden and has come back to the Lord, it's like he's wounded in battle. So fellowship would be, the assembly would be like a hospital, you know, and he would be nurtured back to health. So that fellowship would be the most important thing to him. And then Bible study and then prayer.
Yeah.
The Word of God is the most important thing in the believer's life. I mean, people like quote, go to church, you know, and they listen to Christian radio and there's just no, and I don't want to be critical, but there's just no substance there. There's just, you know, like Don, you were saying, they listen to different preachers, they follow preachers or things like that. And I've seen so much of that, of just following a certain preacher on a radio, but there's no personal study at all. And, the Word of God, I mean, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to change us. You know, it's the Word of God that changes us, not a sermon. You know, those sermons are helpful. I mean, you know, God did institute teachers and preachers and evangelists and so on, you know, in ministers of his word, but nothing can take the place of the Word of God, how the Spirit of God uses the Word of God in the believer's life.
Yeah, fellowship is so important. And it just from a natural standpoint, somebody was asked once I think the comment was, it's better to criticize somebody than to ignore them. In other words, people need people, you know, we need fellowship. We need each other. And from a spiritual standpoint, how much more? But even from a natural standpoint, if a person is ignored, that hurts more than if you criticize them for something. We were made that way, I think, weren't we?
You know, and that's how the Lord, when he instituted the local church, it says, he gave, apostles and prophets, says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Some people make those pauses in between, but yeah. If you read it flowingly, it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the purpose the Lord instituted the local church. You're right, Darrell. We need each other, you know.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. Another verse.
Eldon, your turn.
I kind of have to say that only since I've been on Zoom, I have been interacting with. We always spoke to friends and relatives, people we work with. We kind of learned how to speak rough and boldly, and this is what God says. Whether you like it or not, this is what God says. But I've never been, per se, like what you've done tonight, Darrell, is I'm amazed. Putting scripture with scripture, and but that's something we've never, or at least I have never learned how to do. It was read the scripture and plant the seed. It doesn't matter how who you're talking to. Anybody that comes before you heard the word, whether it was this long or this long. That was our life, our whole life. Nobody, even when we started, nobody knew that it was a wise thing to keep the date when you were born again, or the verse that opened your eyes. We picked up a New Testament, pocket New Testament, and that's what we used. We never read, like, I'm talking years. We never read or explained that verse 13 or chapter 12, verse 3. Or we read the Bible. We never were told that they should remember the chapter or the verse. Now I see that very clearly. It should, that's the way it should be. But it's like a, it's hard for us, for me, to do that. I'll meet somebody and I'll ask him, what do you know about Jesus? Just interact with whatever comes, whatever verse comes to my mind, that's what I'm going to say. This is how we grew up. It's, I would love to do what you just did.
Eldon, I think that you probably led more people to the Lord than I have in my life. So, you know, each of us, God has given us different gifts, you know, and some of the things that we've heard about the people you've led to the Lord recently, it's a wonderful thing.
Doing the same thing everybody does. To sow the seed. Somebody else. They've done that. Still do. It's like that's all we do.
Well, we need each other. Each one has a different service for the Lord. I don't believe there are any two that are perfectly the same. And I can't do your work and you can't do mine.
That's right.
We need each other.
But I still love to hear you guys.
And we love to hear your experiences and your enjoyment of Christ as well. Yes.
Amen.
And just to see you and Della online is a real encouragement to me personally.
Amen.
And you too, Joe. It's an encouragement to me when you're on.
Feelings mutual, believe me. All of you. I am so thankful for the Zoom studies.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
Daniel?
Yeah, I was kind of impressed with the verses that you read in Ezekiel 33, where they were not paying attention. Let's see if the end. Let's see. Verse 31, it says that they sit before thee as my people and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And oh, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, can play well in an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. It reminded me of, you know, in John chapter 6, where the Lord had fed the multitude, and then they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread, because they wanted the food. And then he goes into all these, this lesson, and let's see, right at the end of the chapter, let me just turn it real fast. He said, because they're talking about bread that you can eat, and then he's talking about the word of God. Yes, in verse 63, it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I'm just thinking how the people that listen, just like they would to someone had a smooth voice and whatever, and not let it affect them, you don't realize how important the Lord's words are. They're spirit and life, and you don't want to let that slip through your fingers. You want that to be something that affects us. And
very good.
Well, I'd like to tell you what I thought of what to say to a Christian discerning. In Genesis, where the Lord spoke to Adam and Eve, there he listened to this devil and they disobeyed. First thing they did was they knew they were naked, but they were hiding behind a tree. Question I ask is, what are you hiding behind in life?
Yeah, that's good.
Second one would be Nathaniel. Brother Philip went to get him. We found the Messiah. When he brings him to the Lord says, I saw you underneath the fig tree. My question is, do you realize that the Lord sees you anywhere you are?
Good.
In this life? Wow. Then Zacchaeus, be a little man, there's a story behind that. But he made an effort. He knew he couldn't see the Lord come in this way. So he climbed up into a sycamore tree. What effort do you put in to see the Lord? It's like these things the Lord put in my mind to make people think. When the Lord was on the cross, can you hear the pounding of the nail? Man, do you think there was five or six men holding his hands? The Lord gave himself for you. The tree wasn't a pine tree. It was a hardwood tree.
Right.
You pound them. They don't have a three-penny nail at that time. They had to forge their nails. They had to do this in one shot. They couldn't tap the nail through his hand. You can hear the pound. More or less deep thoughts. There's no verses to that. But to me, that's for real
Yeah, for sure.
That's how I learned. People, those that I've spoken to, at least seem to understand that. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't have a verse that says, but what I can say is, verse, and I think it's Luke, for Herod's men of war were sent to make a show of the Lord, punish him. There are soldiers, there are policemen, watchmen, snipers that shoot from a distance, but these guys had no heart. They loved what they were doing. It's not a nice thing to talk about. The strands that were on the whip, I had to hit him three times, three strands, to make sure that they didn't have more than 39 lashes on his back. So, put bones at the end of the lashes, had to rip them open. It's details. My Lord paid. My redemption was so costly. When he hung there, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? From the reason. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. That's all right. We understand. I think there'd be something wrong if we didn't feel what Christ went through. It shows some reality in the soul. And I think it's important. I often wonder, when they took the lamb on the, kept it in the house for 4 days, and then the father had to come and take that lamb, and I often wonder about the children, Daddy, what are you going to do with our lamb? I have to kill that lamb, or my son's going to die. They're meant to feel it. We're meant to feel it. When we read about the suffering and death of Christ, we're meant to feel it because it was real. And he did that for you, for me. And we're meant to feel it.
The song,
you know, maybe if you would, I'm sorry. Somebody going to say something?
That's okay. Go ahead.
I just was going to ask Daryl if he'd like to just close with another prayer here. But if you had something, Joe, please feel free.
Well, when Eldon was speaking, I was thinking of the words of that hymn. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Mm-hmm. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Mm-hmm. You know what, Eldon? You said you'd like to do what he did. That was one tremendous mini sermon that you had, that you just gave, showing these different stories and different lessons related to trees.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was really amazing. From the garden to Nathaniel to Zacchaeus to the cross. all stories relating with trees. So believe me, brother, you can give a good sermon.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. I thought the same thing.
Really? That was great. That was great.
Everybody's got their gift.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Daryl, we'll leave it with you now.
So if anybody knows any other verses that speak about the word of truth, I'd like to hear it. I thought I got most of them, but I don't know the whole Bible well enough to, you know, I may have missed some, but please share with me if you did find some other verses. Okay, so we'll pray again. Okay, and close the meeting in prayer. God and Father, we thank you for the comments that were made. We thank you for, as Joe has mentioned, Eldon sharing with us about the tree, the various trees in the scripture, and ending up with the most precious of all, the Lord Jesus dying on a tree. And what a wonderful time. We sing with joy and sorrow mingling. And surely it was. It was joy because it resulted in our salvation, and sorrow because he had to go through it because of our sins. And so well expressed. And Lord, we just thank you for doing that for us. And thank you for this, the scriptures, the word of truth that you've given each one of us, that we just pray that we might treat it with respect and reverence, and would share with others the wonderful blessings that we've been blessed with and the resulting in our salvation. So we just thank you for this time together. We pray for each one who's here and those that weren't with us tonight too. And we give you thanks in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.